I've got everybody confused this morning. You all sit down. What, be confused or sit down? Praise the Lord. I wanted us to sing a couple of praise songs this morning, and then I'm going to give you some word that will cause you to worship. So I know you'd rather do that after. I know any time we change the schedule, it takes you a moment to adjust, so we'll just take that moment for a second. I want you to go ahead and get your Bibles out, and I want you to get your notepads out. If you just take one note today, that would be okay, just as long as you remember it. But I'm going to say something to you this morning that you've never heard before, and it won't be all that controversial. It'll just be uplifting to the kingdom of the living God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we're hungry for you this morning. Jesus, we came to exalt you and worship you and call you worthy. We love you with all of our hearts. What we're here this morning doing is not to get born again, but to find out how to love you more and to serve you more and exalt you more. That's the burn and the desire of our hearts today. Let that come forth in the word that you want us to hear this morning. Just knock our socks off by your presence and by your anointing. Change us. Not one of those changes that causes a hiccup, but a change that is everlasting. Because we do seek you today. We do seek you today. We begin our worship right now, right here, with the opening of your word, the reading of your word, and the listening and the hearing and the receiving of your word. We say that is done in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I trust that you've had a good service last week. One of those things that stuck with you during the week. And not to honor the speaker, even though that's what that does, but to honor the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. All right, if you will, turn with me to Revelations chapter 5. Revelations chapter 5. Well, the church is lighter today. Everybody came in with a lot less hair except me. I think Richard said that they said he lost 7 pounds in his annual haircut. Or he needed it or not, yeah. I'm not too sure he wasn't joking. I think he was trying to be serious. Hallelujah. We enjoyed our time together. Away. Connie caught a lot of big fish. And I took some pictures. If you pay us enough, she'll show them to you. The pictures are a little fishy. Huh? Yeah. No, she ate 2 of them. Threw the rest away. She can't. Most people have a hard time feeding me fish. Just, they may be pretty and they may be fun, but they're not my favorite food unless they're all dolled up. That means you can't taste them. But unlike some people, I can eat them even if I know they're in there. All right. I'm going to title this message this morning, just for lack of a better one, My Peace is Already There. My peace is already there. All right, Revelations chapter 5, verse 11. We'll read 11 through 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. They were all saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and forever."
Amen.
Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Well, look at that scripture carefully now. Verse 12. You might say everything in the entire universe was saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." Now, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that the way you begin worship is by saying you're worthy. But that's exactly what happened here. They all began in one voice to say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." My question to you, or the answer to the question that you forgot to ask, was the reason he is worthy is to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, my question to you this morning is, I thought he already had that. Now, the problem with us saying Jesus is worthy is we use that term wrong. It's we believe that he already has all of that, and yet we're saying he's worthy of that. And if you know anything about English, which I don't, but I know enough to know that those two statements are not together. They're nearly oxymorons. I find verse 13 very interesting in that this is the same terminology used to tell God when God spoke to man. He said, "I give you dominion," and it was exactly over this. Verse 13. "Every creature, everything which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as is there in the sea." Do you remember that in Genesis? That's exactly what he told man. "That's what I give you dominion over." And a little earlier he said, "That's what I'll have you tend." Well, that's important for you to get that. The reason is that I'm going to tell you this morning, and I'm going to try to prove to you or convince you, that we're the ones that are going to bring him power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Otherwise, he can't have them. Not by our choice, but by his law. His word is law. I want you to think about that a little bit, and then I'm going to tell you something. Connie and I have been pondering, seeking, and questioning, and asking. And a little bit of it, Connie showed you on her heart about decision-making process, how that was bearing on how it affected generations. You remember her saying that? Well, we made a commitment that we would seek God and we would go in the direction that whatever direction that was. And we sought the building. It kind of went away. And my wife knows as much as anybody does that we didn't let that fall. I fought like crazy. I fought a lot harder than normally because I wanted to make sure that if this was not the place, it wasn't my laziness. And I gave many chances. I fought against the real estate agent. I made the other real estate agent call the owner, which is, I think, in New Jersey or someplace, New York. And I talked to him directly. And when I found that he was double dumb, and that's what he was, just dumber than a post, I ended the conversation. I ended it rather abruptly, didn't I? "Nice talking to you, bye." And that wasn't quick. That wasn't anger. That was a determination. So we've still been seeking God about some things. There's been a lot of doors that won't open. And we've just been seeking. I think it was Wednesday. Wednesday morning, I was awake. The clock said 2:15. And rather than fight being awake, I just said, "God, I'll be awake all night with you if you want. Let's just talk. I don't care." But I surely don't have anything better to do than talk to God, right? And usually, us humans, when we say we talk to God, that means we talk and he listens. Not the way it's supposed to be, but that's usually the way it works out. He's very merciful by listening. We had a lot of things in our personal lives we wanted some answers on. We have some things about the church future direction that we want answers to. And so Wednesday morning, I won't say bellyaching. I took a pretty good attitude. Just basically, I need some answers, God. Now, normally, I got to warn you about this. When you're really seeking God, if he's got anything to say, it's going to be different than you expected. Otherwise, he doesn't say anything. That make sense to you? I'll give you a ridiculously blatant example, and that is that I want to kill somebody. God, is that okay? I need an answer. He's not going to answer you. You already know the answer. Even though you may be crying out. Same thing with adultery. I really love this clown. Can I commit adultery? Don't ask. Don't ask. I don't care what your body's telling you, what your emotions are telling you. Don't ask, because you're not going to get the answer. You already have it. God's not in the business of repeating himself. Okay, so I'm asking. And I'm basically sharing with him some things. And God basically, before about 3:30 or so, I don't remember what, the clock said about 3:45. But somewhere in that latter part of that, God moved in and begun to speak. Now that just means basically he's beginning to put into my mind his heart. Or if you want to do it King James wise, he was writing on my heart his heart. And he gave me an answer. Of course, I'm not too thrilled with the answer, but it was correct. He told me that that my problem really was that I was afraid. Now, I know you guys don't really think that I'm afraid, but I get that way sometimes. I'm not so much afraid to do something. I'm afraid of the consequences. So that what that causes you to do is nothing, or the wrong thing. Because the devil is faithful to put pictures in your mind too. Now, I'm not going to go into all the things that I was discussing, but some of them were big, and some of them were the dumbest little things in the world. Just stupid little things. And they didn't look stupid until he spoke. And it's really, really, you need to understand, it's important for us to know that our decisions have consequences. That's very important. But it's not the most important thing. Because if it becomes the most important thing, then you won't do anything for fear. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, he managed to tell me that the fear was wrong. The questioning, that's basically what it is. The questioning, trying to get all these... My mom and dad used to tell me that when I was 5 years old, that if they decided they were going on a little short trip, they had to lay out the entire itinerary for me, including where we were going, what time we were leaving, what time we were going to be back, or I wouldn't go. That's a personality trait that God put in me, but now he's fighting it. Because he's never going to answer all of those questions for me. Then it would require no faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't cover every base with a question. You've got to cover it with something else. Right? Yeah. Harry just laid out a bunch of this false wooden floor. What do you call that? Pergo type of material. Do you know what would happen if looking at a room, if every question had to be answered, every cut had to be prepared and pre-planned, and the outcome, even including the scraps thrown away, would have to be answered before you started? You'd never start because you can't get them. Some things you do by faith. When he started that floor, part of his faith was, I can finish this floor. But what if? Well, we'll deal with that when it comes. But right now, I have faith that I can finish this floor. It's the most important thing in life is to have the faith that whatever God begins, he can finish. Amen? Then we won't have so many questions. Then he gave me the strangest answer. He said, I got your answer. Now, that's what I've been asking for weeks. What's the holdup? Well, the holdup is you have to be ready to receive the answer so it doesn't blow you away. His answer was, Jesus is worthy. Now, see, y'all looking at me funny because you weren't there. This is what he said. All you have to begin to do is begin to say 24/7, Jesus is worthy. Well, I'm not saying that everything made sense right at that moment, but I said, okay. And I began to do that, and I got tremendous peace. Tremendous peace. The kind of peace where you don't care about the answer. That make sense to you? God can say things that will make you forget the question. Therefore, you don't need the answer to the question you're asking. Jesus is worthy. How do I know that? Because that's what they're saying in heaven. They're not going around painting flowery pictures about who Jesus is. Because of lack of the constraint of English, we have to say something to Jesus. Well, let's just begin to say, he is worthy. Okay. Now, boom, that's a good answer. It's easy. I'm off to sleep. Because I was at total peace. Can it be that simple? And yeah, it can be. Because unless you become as a little child, you'll never enjoy the things of the kingdom. You'll never understand them. Okay. Do I have a total understanding? Not even to this minute. Even though the next morning while she was fishing, I wrote a book as things came to me. And part of what came to me the next day is an understanding that the only way to miss the blessings of God are through disobedience. Only way. Now listen, I'm saying some huge statements and they're coming across very simple. Let me remind you. The only way to miss the blessings of God is through disobedience. That means the blessings are already there, right? And the only way to miss them is to not diligently listen and obey. Right? God doesn't cause train wrecks to get His word across. You cause them by not listening and doing. But that's easy. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. I remember, and it popped into my head again, I remember that when we were in Cozumel, and several of them were there that experienced the joy, when Bob didn't listen and obey. There was something on my heart. I pressed on him several times, take that car back. Don't use it today. Check it back in. Don't use it today. Give it back. Don't use it today. Okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. And that's the way we do God. We hear things, and we say, okay, and then we don't do them. That's disobedience. And there was a car wreck, and there was mega expenses to people involved. Now, I'm not down on Bob about that. Every one of us have disobeyed. And every one of us have paid a price. But you can't change your way unless you realize you're doing something wrong. That's what repentance is about. You can't repent of something unless you know that you're doing something wrong. It's not guilt, it's information. I want to read to you a very familiar scripture, but it's not familiar enough. We need to get it ingrained in us. Look in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. You know what's coming. But I hope you'll know it better after we get through going through it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Listen to me. For us to get where we're going, and I hope we do that today, we must know beyond a shadow of doubt what the plan of God is, so we won't be asking what the plan is all the time. If we knew what the plan of God was in our life, we wouldn't have so many questions. So I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture that covers everything in your life all in just a few verses. There's nothing left, including a church building, including a church future, including business future, including health, including anything else that's on your mind, prosperity. There's nothing left. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. How many of you know that God does not lie? Okay, so the first part of that first verse, when it says, now it shall come to pass, then there aren't any more questions about will it come to pass. Right? We just know it's going to happen. Now it will come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now here's what God said. I guarantee this based on your actions. Actually, it's not your actions. It's your faith. Your actions will follow your faith. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, I just shared with you what God told me was my answer. What is my job now? That's my job. That don't seem too hard. See, it takes away performance. Except performing, Jesus, you're worthy. I think anybody could do that, wouldn't you? So that would even include me. I believe I can accomplish this one. All right. And I'm telling you, this is how simple God is to us. We're always looking for the complicated ways and the what ifs and ands and buts. But I just read in here that says, now this shall come to pass if you diligently say, Jesus, you're worthy. Amen. To observe carefully all of His commandments. That's the second part of my job. I don't yell, Jesus is worthy, while I'm robbing the bank. When I'm in the sack with the wrong person. When I'm looking at the wrong person lustfully. It takes away all the now it shall come to passes. No, it doesn't, because there's a whole lot of promises you don't want to get involved in the rest of Deuteronomy. And that'll come to pass too. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high. Now I know how to get high. I say, Jesus is worthy. And I get high. Who sets me there? Once, as I read this, I want you to understand who's doing all the work. I'll set you high above all the nations of the earth. The cool part of this is we don't have to be brilliant. We don't have to be good looking. We don't have to use exactly the correct English. We don't even have to be assured that we're right or wrong. Because God's setting you on high. No fear. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. All of what blessings? All the ones he's going to tell you about. That are going to come to pass. Isn't that what he said? Oh, they're going to come to pass. Not only will they come upon you, they'll overtake you. You know what the difference is? The difference between riding beside somebody and passing them. It's one thing for a blessing to come up behind me. And it just, you ever see a relay when they're running and trying to reach the baton, it slows them down? All right, this promises that the blessings are going to come up beside us, or on us, and then they'll overtake us. That means they're going to get all over you. All right, say it one more time.
Can't run anywhere except the blessing.
How about left? Doesn't make any difference, does it? How about right? How about up, down? There, you're overtaken, which means you can't get away. Now, come on, you know, you're not listening to me. The blessings you can't get away from if you'll just do what God tells you to do. In my case, for this moment, it is, Jesus, you're worthy. Now, I'm getting overtaken as we speak. Well, I can't break the commandments. There's only 10 of them. There's not 600 and something. And they're boiled down to even, everybody says two, I say one in the New Testament. See, part of being obedient, can I tell you the number one ingredient for being obedient is to believe with all your heart that God wants to bless you. If you can't pass that one, the rest of the word is not going to affect you. But you don't understand. See, I even heard that. I'm on a fixed income. I'm retired. Doesn't say anything about that in there. Why are you interjecting it? Now, I'm not talking about go spending something you don't have. I'm saying to you, whenever the blessings overtake you and you can't get out of them, don't take credit for them. It's how much I worked. It's how I performed. It's how pretty I am. It's how smart I am. No, it didn't say that. All right, let's go on. Number 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. So it don't make any difference where I'm at. Now, I was in Steamboat and I got blessed. So I don't have to be here. But I can be here and get blessed. And it's not so much where I'm at, it's who I'm with. No matter where you are, no matter what you are, every area of your life is going to be blessed. Listen, I'll show you. Verse 4. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body. That's whatever your body's producing. Children, work, smell. I don't care what it is. Whatever your body's producing. The produce of your ground is blessed. Well, since most of you are not farmers, you don't have to be planting seed to get blessed. You've got ground. Everybody in here has got some ground. Right? All right. If not, go dig up some. The produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed, that just means all of your business. So God's not just interested in blessing you spiritually, but he's very interested, so much so that he promised that he will bless you in every aspect of your life, even business. I don't know why we have to say it that way, but bless you be in your basket and in your kneading bowl. That's not this. That's not this. Your basket and your kneading bowl. What does that mean? That means where you store things and where you make things. Where you're actually working with your hands in the kneading bowl, or where you're over there, it's already made and you're just enjoying it. You're blessed there. Blessed shall you be when you come in. And blessed shall you be when you go out. Now what's left? Standing still, and God's not going to bless that. You're not going to bless me doing this. You're going to bless me going in. He's going to bless me going out. Where? The house, the bathroom, the kitchen, your place of work. It don't make any difference. It doesn't say, it doesn't limit. It just says every place you go in and out. Your enemy's house, the restaurant, your car. You go in and out of your car. Shower. Now come on. Get with the Scripture. Quit making the Scripture chase you and you chase it for a while. Put in your mind what you go in and out of and start looking at that and say, I'm blessed there, and I'm blessed there, and I'm blessed there. Ooh-wee. Blessed when I go in and out of my computer. Look at 7. The Lord will cause your enemies. Now there's your guarantee you're going to have some. Don't feel neglected or beat up if you get some enemies. It's part of the Word. See, you couldn't get the blessing if you didn't have the enemies because the Scripture includes the enemies. All right. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Where? Now, it didn't put a calendar date, but it did put a location. It didn't say today. It might be tomorrow or the next day, but it's going to be right in front of you. You're going to know about it. That's the thing. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. They got to get talented to find 7 ways to get away from you. That just means they're scared. They want out of here. I'm going to compare this to the suicide bombers and stuff over in wherever they are. The news, when one person gets killed over here, there's 7 Iraqis get killed by some blow-up bomber. There's one of them. There's 7 that got killed. Well, that's bad odds. Well, you better listen. There's 7 million Iraqis, and there's only a few bombers. We're going to run out of bombers for it all. And if I'm trusting God, I'm not going to get blown up. At least 7. And he didn't get his 72 virgins either. He got a surprise. No, he didn't. He's going to burn in hell for eternity. Along with his false God, by the way. Burn in hell. I thought the other day when I saw on the news that one of our soldiers flushed down the Quran down the toilet and it caused how many deaths over in some country? Well, let's count them. Or no, let's don't count them. Let's flush some more. Let's see if we can just wipe them all out by flushing. I bet you we run out of them before we run out of those little chunks of paper. In fact, that'd be fun. Here goes a 60 more. And you can just laugh. Don't do it down your commode. Do somebody else's. It might stop yours up. They shall come out against you. Now you understand how I think weird, you know. I don't anyway, they shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. Before you. Okay, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass. We just need to start every one of these with now it shall come to pass. Then we have to determine whether we're going to call God a liar or not. I'm anxious. I am anxious to see an enemy go 7 different directions at one time. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing that. I can't say that I've seen that too many times. Now our Lord fights the battle, so the victory's already there. He's not going to fight the battle. This doesn't say that once an enemy comes against you, we'll pause everything, God will fight the battle, and then he'll make him go 7 different ways. This is written early Old Testament. This will come to pass. So the battle is already won. Or you couldn't have a guy walk in and go to pieces in 7 different directions. It would take time if it wasn't already done. Verse 8. The Lord will command a blessing on you. Okay, Stan, you need to get this down hardcore. If I exalt the Lord by saying you are worthy, then what's he going to do? What's his response? He's going to take blessings that have already been prepared and he's going to command them on you and on your storehouse and all to which you have set your hand. It really doesn't, does it? It doesn't leave anything out that I'm interested in. Think about that one a little bit. The Lord will do the work. He'll do the commanding. You don't have to go around yelling and screaming the commands all the time. You just have to obey the Lord. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Yeah. That means he's already given you some, And he's going to give you some more. It's already prepared. You don't have to go search it out. By the way, if the Lord will command the blessing on you, do you have to go to it? So if we need a church building, do we have to go to the church building to get the blessing? Because it's already on us, commanded there by God and through our obedience. What if we go pick the wrong building? Ask that question and find your answer in here. I double dog dare you. Doesn't it say that? It doesn't say, if you touch exactly the right thing at exactly the right moment, exactly the right attitude, exactly with the right people. It doesn't say that. But before this is over, I'm going to tell you, you can't make a mistake. According to this, if you diligently listen and obey. See, everybody wants to put that catch in there. Well, he's going to tell us which is the right building. It didn't say that. I've only got one thing to report to you this morning. God's answer to me was, Lord, you're worthy. I think we're missing the blessings because we try to complicate them. We got to wear the right shoes. We got to say the right thing. We got to stop and get on our knees and pray for 30 minutes before we have an answer. No, the blessings have overtaken me. That would also be the answers of the Lord. They're the blessings that I've got. Besides that, and I think about this over and over, I don't find in the Bible a lot of specifics. There are a few, but they had to do with some very important things that need to be done right at that moment. But when the promised land was given, now we're talking about big land, and it didn't have a double door like that. You understand? I mean, you could enter from a lot of different directions, a lot of different ways. And all God said was, go on in. I gave it to you. And we said, but our size matters. Our size matters. God said, where in the, you know, where did you get that? I didn't tell you about size matters. I just said, go do it. Go do it. Verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. How? We're going to get to that. With me, for this moment, maybe for eternity, Lord, you're worthy. So I've got my first inclination of why God told me that. Because most of us have a problem dealing with our worthiness. And so what God's saying, this applies to you, Stan, and all you have to do is say, Jesus, you're worthy. You know what that's beginning to do to me when I do that? So I never can understand that I'm worthy until I predetermine and say and believe and see that he's worthy. I can't get it unless it's that way. I sure can't get it by works. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, verse 10, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Now I want you to listen to what I've been talking about. Start putting some things together. Don't make me do it for you. If the Lord is going to be exalted, he's going to be exalted in the face of the earth through his people. Amen. That's going to exalt him. Amen. And they shall be afraid of you. Y'all like that idea of people being afraid? I do. Connie wants to talk and pet the dog. I want to go, and I want to see that sucker run like crazy. I want it to run, to turn around and ask 30 yards away, what is it that you want? That's the way I want the enemy to be. Dog's not my friend, dog's my enemy. I'm going to get this down. Animals can't be your friends, they can be your enemies. But they can't be your friends. If you don't believe they can't be the enemy, don't feed them and find out. A friend wouldn't turn on you when you didn't feed them. An animal will. Reach down there and take that steak out of something's mouth and see what happens. Friend wouldn't do that to you. Just get it square. Get it square. Verse 11, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Oh my goodness. That can't be in there. No, that can't be in there. See, because we understand Christians have to be poor. Most religion has. Do you dare that I argue with religion? Your body tells you that. Your bank account tells you that. Your wife tells you that. Your children tell you that. Are you going to dare to believe the Bible? The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Verse 12, better yet, the Lord will open to you His good treasure. Now, I don't know if you know this, but where He lives are streets of gold. Just the gates to His palace there. The whole world could live on for a long time. Just the gates.
Yeah.
Not counting the roads. His good treasure is not just finances, by the way. The Lord will open to you His heavens to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. Oh, my. To bless all the work of your hand?
Yes, all.
All. Nearly all.
All.
You see, the only reason we don't see the blessings of our hands is because we don't believe all this good enough. We need to stand on it. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow.
Amen.
Right.
Now, who said that?
God did.
Oh, the preacher did.
Oh, God did.
God did. Here's the best, one of the best ones yet. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. I've never heard in my life anybody wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a tail today. I've seen them ask it other ways. Why can't we believe that God just wants a bunch of head? He'd just as soon everybody not be a bunch of tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. All right, let's make it simple, Stan. The command that you have today is what?
Jesus, you're worthy.
See, even in the middle of the night, God didn't say plus 600 commandments. He just said, you began to say, Jesus, you're worthy. Do you have to have an understanding? No, you have to have obedience. You'll be above only and not be beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God. Verse 14, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day. Well, one of the commandments He commanded us this day is don't turn aside from the commandments.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to spend. You guys need to go home and read the rest of Deuteronomy 28 and find that the biggest part of all the warnings and threats and bad things are going to happen if you turn aside. Then you need to look at your friends and your enemies and find out why they're doing so badly when you know in your heart they've turned aside from the commandments of the Lord. How do you know somebody's a Christian? They'll obey the commandments. Their mouth will clean up. Their lives will clean up. Huh? That's right. Their interest will change. They'll start being hungry and thirsty after the Lord, not after everything of the world. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. And don't go after other gods to serve them. Little g. That just means anything that causes your interest to sway. Now, this isn't my message. It's leading up to it. The reason we don't see these blessings is that we have other gods in our life called fear and worry and concern and question. Those are gods. You know that? Evidently not. I'm going to say it to you again. There are other gods in your life called fear, worry, concern, and question. And they take away the blessing. The only job in my life that I have at this moment is to know and to say He is worthy. All right, now let's get down to the message. Why? This is what God told me. That in saying He is worthy, it will be revealed to me that I am worthy in Him. Do you remember the scripture? Why don't we turn there right quick? Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. I don't want you to forget the principle. The mountain moving is not the principle in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Turn it for me so I can read it. I can near quote it, but I want you to understand. It's so important to God that He wrote it twice. He repeated Himself. Number one, have faith in God. If you want anything to happen in your life, you will have more faith in God than the actual things that are happening in your life. I know that's easy to say amen and yeah, but it's a lot of work to deny the obvious to get the promise. Have faith in God. Now listen to this. For assuredly I say to you, here's the principle, whoever says, does not doubt, but believes, he will see. He'll have whatever he says. What's the principle? Say it, believe it, then you'll understand it, you'll see it, you'll have it. The Trinity. You've got to understand the Trinity. You don't believe it, say it, see it. It won't happen. You'll say it before you believe it. I want you to listen to me. You'll say it before you believe it. Because you don't have the total understanding yet. Part of believing is the understanding coming. But the only way you're going to get the understanding is to begin to say without understanding. I hope you got that. Because my job when God says to me, Jesus is worthy, is begin to say, Jesus is worthy if I don't understand 1 ounce of it. Because I understand that if I want to be at peace and I want to be blessed, I will do what God tells me to do. Even if it's swim upstream. Now then you can overcome everything else with the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. I first will believe that He is worthy. Then I will believe that I am worthy in Him. Then I will see all the blessings. You know what the biggest failure of a Christian is? I can, most of you right now, if I caught you off guard, I'd say, are you worthy? You'd say no. Come on, be honest. You'd say no. Because the enemy's there, very faithful, very sure to tell you you're not worthy and explain why. That's right. Even your parents did that to you to a certain extent. And then you joined in on a bandwagon later on. You know why? Because we don't have the understanding of Jesus is worthy. I know your answer to me. Well, Stan, everybody knows that Jesus is worthy. Oh, really? Really? Then what is He worthy of? Tell me what Jesus is worthy of. Blessing, honor, and glory. How's He going to get that?
By me giving it to Him.
What else is He worthy of? Because there was more than that, first part.
Power.
Praise. You guys are missing out on the things that keep you fed. I'm going to read it to you again. So you'll understand. It's in Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And then drop down again. Blessing and honor, glory, and power to Him who sits on the throne. Now, what's He worthy of?
Riches.
Wisdom. Honor. Power. Glory. The things that we try to work up during our worship service. When we shouldn't have to work at it at all. It should be spilling out of us. Just remember, verse 12, this is what Jesus is worthy of. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. He had a reason for being slain. Did Jesus die? Why? Well, to forgive my sins. Doesn't say that. We know it to be true, but that's not what they're saying in heaven. Oh, thank you for forgiving me my sins. Thank you for forgiving me my sins. You know what they're saying in heaven?
Worthy.
You are worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. How many people, how many voices is it when it says 10,000 times 10,000 plus thousands and thousands? That's right. It's called myriads, which means nobody knows. You can't count them. By the way, if you can't count, if there's millions and millions at least yelling, you are worthy, what else are you going to hear? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Well, let's get back to it. How's He going to get that? To say He's worthy to receive that is nothing. It's hollow. You understand that? It's the difference between I can write a check and I'll write you a check. That's the difference between He is worthy and saying, here it is. Because in Revelation it also says, as soon as they got through saying that, then they fell down and began to worship. Why? Because Revelation came. They worshiped out of Revelation. What am I saying? Say it again to you, since this is simple, but it can be passed over so easy. If you begin to say, Jesus, you're worthy enough, you're going to get revelation that will cause you to fall and worship. What's you going to get revelation of? Number one, who He is. Number two, who you are in Him. How many of you have ever seen me introduce Connie as a separate entity? This is my wife, Connie. I don't go and present her resume of who she is. Here's her accomplishments. Here's what she did. This is her response up to certain situations. You'll never see me do that because it's non-existent. She's nothing without me. You know how I can say that? Because I can say, Jesus, you're worthy. Because when I'm saying, Jesus, you're worthy, I'm saying, husband, you're worthy. I'm not seeking my own. Do you understand? I'm not seeking my own. We'll get into more. I tripped you up. Only through us that are worthy in Him is He going to receive riches and wisdom and power and glory. Now, I'm rich. She's broke. I'm healthy. She's sick. I'm strong. She's weak. And I know all of that's true, but through grace and mercy, I'll walk with her anyway. Are you understanding where I'm going? You see, when you begin to say, Jesus, you're worthy, what you begin to get revealed right here is what He's worthy of in me. Not what I want you to understand what you're worthy of in Him, or He's worthy of from you, if you like to say it better. If I go fishing, I'm the bride. I'm going to bring in a big fish because, Lord, you're worthy of a big fish. I'm going to wake up this morning and I'm going to pray to you, not because I need something, because you're worthy of my presence and conversation. That doesn't place me at a high place. It's easy to assume that by the conversation, but it's not what we're saying. He's worthy of power. Then why, as a bride, would I come in weak? If I'm coming in a weak position, I'm just saying you're worthy, and I don't give a flip. I don't even believe it. If I come in broke, busted, and disgusted, is that what He's worthy of? Then I ought to be ashamed of myself and begin to pick up the Word and start believing myself into the position that I need to be in. It's because He's worthy of that. My Bible tells me I'm supposed to be the head of my house. Anything less than that, and I bring shame on Jesus Christ, because He's worthy of me obeying His commandments. If I cow in the presence of my enemy, I've shamed my husband. He's worthy of a big, bold, powerful bride. You understand where I'm going with this? We need to stop praising and worshiping out of a shallow sacrifice. But we need to get ourselves into a revelation position where me saying, Jesus, you're worthy, I begin to understand what that means in my life. I like my bride to be dressed well. Are you listening to me? That means she owes me dressing well. If Jesus wants power, wisdom, and authority, and riches, do we owe that to Him? Then with everything within in us, we should believe, because I'm married to Jesus Christ, because I'm one with Him, that I don't have to worry about making a mistake. All I have to worry about is stealing from Him what's His. I'm beginning to get a better revelation of what the Bible says when it says, bride, your body is not your own. And then it goes on to say, husband, your body is not your own. And if he has all blessings and honor already, but it's just stored up for me to go get and bring to him, then I owe that to him. Why? Because it makes him happy. Is this missing y'all? Are you just floored? I can't get it. You're just sitting there. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. It's okay. He wants us to walk in high places. Isn't that what it says in Deuteronomy? Yes. Safe places. He wants us to walk in Him so that the world will know that He's worthy. How's the world going to know that Jesus is worthy? Just by you saying? Not a chance. It's by your actions. Faith. Faith in what? Start with Deuteronomy 28. If God wants this of me, there must be a reason He wants this of me. Not just so that I can be wealthy. Let's kick out that prosperity message that's being taught now. It's not about us being rich. It's about Him being worthy.
Yeah, amen.
And if we get goods out of that, so be it. And if we don't, so be it. He's still worthy. He's worthy of all my hard work. What hard work? Well, you're worthy. I'm tired. You know how much work I had to do to get saved? None. It was already there. I just had to go get it. I don't have to recreate the world. I don't have to work 80 hours a week and have no time for anything. The blessings are already there. All I have to do is believe them. Then I have to understand what they're for. They're for His worthiness. My husband, Jesus, doesn't want to walk around with a sloppy, slouchy bride. Why? Because He already knows He's worth more than that. He's been trying to convince us for years. Why don't we get it? He doesn't want us picking Him up in an old sloppy jalopy. He wants to get in and say, ooh, air conditioner works good, sound system works good, rides well. Yeah, but I don't have enough money to fill the tank. No. Let's get our believer on, right? You can't find that in Deuteronomy 28. But you don't know the price of fuel. No, but my worthiness does. Actually, I believe that God knew the price of fuel for today when He wrote Deuteronomy 28. I believe He might have that capability. Now I'm going to read you a little composite of Genesis. I'm going to show you up if it takes all day. And it won't. Ooh, it might. Anyway, Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to listen to this carefully. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Finished. Did you get that? That takes away our work. Why were they finished? Well, God finished them to provide for us so that we would call His Son worthy. And He would have a worthy bride for His worthy Son. The heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. 2. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had already done. And He rested on the seventh day from all of His work, which He had already done. I told you, God's not in the habit of repeating Himself. When He does, listen. Don't pray and ask Him to do anything for you. That's the hardest thing for me to understand, is that I'm not to go to God and ask Him to do things for me. He has already done it. I read you Deuteronomy 28. What more could you ask for? Well, we're creative. We find more things to ask. We're just real creative. We won't. It's like mom sitting down in front of us, the greatest meal on the face of the earth, and us ungrateful nitwits say, "But do you have ketchup?" You know how many times I've seen people do that? I mean, a woman slaves sweat, blood over a meal. And some nitwit says, do you have ketchup? The cook needs to take the frying pan and go, boom, but I've got that for you. And don't ever ask again. That's exactly what God sets in Deuteronomy 28, set the entire wealth of the world and the entire world in front of us. And I'm laying awake in the middle of the night worrying about a haircut or whatever stupid thing I'm worried about. It's the same thing. What part of it's already done have you not understood? Somebody ought to get excited. I don't understand. Verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day. Why did He bless the seventh day and sanctify the seventh day? Because that's His place of rest. He don't intend to get upset about you anymore, by you anymore. He's resting. And then in many times later in the Bible it says, would you enter into my rest? Since the work is done. Chuck, if all the houses in the earth were already built, would you go out and look to build some more? Then why do we do that? Why don't we say, this is rest? Why? Because there's no more money to be made. Do you understand that money's only been made once? God's taking care of that, and there's no more to be made? And yet we go out and make money? Not a chance. No more than you can make some more water. He blessed it, He sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Now jump to verse 15 in chapter 2. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Did you get that? What's your job? Tend and keep it. You know what tend is? That don't mean make more. That means just watch over it. Keep it. In all the rest of the Bible, when it says keep, what does it mean? Guard. It means guard against anything coming and taking it away. What God hath put together, let no man put asunder. I'll talk about that later. Not this later. Later. Now jump to Genesis 1, 26. What you must understand about Genesis is it's not chronologically ordered. You have to read it according to... You nearly have to get a chronological Bible to find out what the order was. Now listen. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Whose image? Whose likeness? Hey, Karen, I look like God. And I'm in their image. So if that don't make you put your shoulders back, nothing will. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Who's going to have dominion over this earth? Let me say it another way. Who has dominion over everything that God made and owns? I got goosebumps. I have dominion over everything that God made and owns. I thought he does. No. He said, now you have it. Now you know what the enemy does? Comes and says, yeah, but I... By whose judgment was it screwed up? Did you ever ask that question? By whose judgment did I foul up? Well, mostly ours. Why don't we begin to say when there's a screw up, we say, man, I'm anxious to see God, what he's going to do through this. I don't see it, but I know God has a plan. And for the enemies, I'm anxious to see their butts split into 7 different directions. There's a picture for you. Do it again. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, including spiders.
Amen.
So God created man in his own image. He didn't say, let's think about it. He said, what a thought, let's do it. So he did it.
Amen.
In the image of God, he created man. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. I thought that's what we read in Deuteronomy. When God blesses us, it's going to overtake us. We can't get out of it, right? When are we going to believe that? And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. How do you multiply, people? Boy, it got quiet then, didn't it? Children, would you like to explain? Because the adults have forgotten. How do you multiply? Well, okay, since you won't answer, I'll answer this way. That is something that God commanded us to do. How did it get dirty? So the same way that being rich and a Christian got dirty, through some stupid moron's explanation. I want to say something so bad, but it'd make all of you turn so red, and I won't. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Don't just fill it. Any old cur dog can fill the earth with cur dogs. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. First you, everything else. Right? You get dominion over you first. Our place is to do the work of faith, bringing him all blessings, riches, power, because he is worthy of that. He's worthy of that, guys. That's why we're going to do it, because he's worthy of that. Worry takes us down. Rest builds us up. Let me back that up by Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Now you have to listen carefully or read carefully for this Scripture. Either one you choose, it's fine. God took it for so much granted. Just assumed that we'd be smart enough to say it's better to rest than to work. And we spend the rest of our lives saying the opposite. We just read. Patrick, I've done all the work. Come on in, let's vacation. Patrick says, oh no, I got to work. I got to make some money. My family needs the money. They'd probably be better off with the rest of God than the money. You hear me? We don't even feel like. I'm just as guilty as anybody. I don't feel like I've done anything unless I get out and sweat something. Just let me sweat a little bit, I'm fine. Why? Because I don't fully believe the Word of God yet. Listen, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest. We're going to walk in rest if we believe. We're not going to be fighting wars that don't need to be fought. Working jobs that don't need to be worked. Not against work. Everybody that knows me knows better than that. But I am in rest. Especially the kind that I need. As he has said, so I swear my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Did you get that? Why don't they enter my rest? I provided it. I completed all the work. What are you working for? Why don't you just believe me? Why don't you quit trying to figure out what direction to go and just float with me? For he has spoken in certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. What's he saying? The obvious. If you don't believe that I've already done the work, if you don't believe that you need to say Jesus is worthy, if you don't believe that you're going to receive worth by saying that, then you'll never enter the place of rest. If you don't do what I tell you to, you're never going to enter the place of rest. And most of your conversation is going to be blaming something or someone else. Since therefore, verse 6, Hebrews 4, 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Past, some never did enter. Future, some will, some won't. But it'll all be based on obedience. And please, let's quit making obedience a bad word. What I've tried to explain to you this morning is what I've got to obey right now is that Jesus is worthy. That's my obedience. My obedience is, which, guys, listen to me. If you've progressed any in your Christianity, the Ten Commandments are not even worth talking about. I don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I got to think, did I break one of the commandments yesterday? Don't do that. Paul says, let's don't go over those basics again. Let's move on to bigger things. If you're doing something that breaks the commandments, stop it so we can move on. Here's where we find Jesus with a bride that is not believing him enough to take a risk of faith. When's the last time you took a leap of faith? Come on. This is nitty-gritty time. When's the last time you took a leap of faith? That against all odds, against all reports, and against everything, you just stepped out and did what you thought God wanted you to do. I can tell you where the first place should be either in your health or your finances, whichever's plaguing you the most. Well, the last time I risked my finances, I lost. Where did you find that in the Scripture? See, the deal is there's no period to the end of promises. You don't put a period at the end of a promise. It's open end. The promise is going to happen. Didn't we say that in Deuteronomy 28? It is here. Here's what I'm telling you. Now all you got to do is be diligent and listen and obey. And what will happen? It'll either come back to you, you'll see the enemy scattered seven times, but I promise you, provision will be there. Here's the other thing we do as fools. That's people that don't listen and obey. We think that if I put a nickel on the table, I need 10 cents to come back from that nickel. Never works that way. That wouldn't even require your faith. You put a nickel on the table, the enemy comes out and swipes a nickel, and you say, see, it didn't work. You're not even still looking for the promise of God. You gave up on the promise the minute you visually lost sight of the nickel. You have to break fellowship with somebody, kick a son or a daughter out of the house. We've got to draw a line and say, friend, don't come back anymore. Whatever it is, all we can see is the pain of the moment. We can't see the promise and the glory. And because we're not saying, Jesus, you're worthy. My son is not doing right, and I'm going to help. You gave me dominion. I'm sorry I fluffed it off, but you're worthy of a better situation than this. First, it has to happen here. If it's something I need to cut off in me, he's worthy. And I'm going to do it because he's worthy. Then it'll lead to other situations, places, and things. In fact, if you do it correctly, it'll lead to the entire earth. That's how big the blessings are. Jesus has a bride that won't even take a risk of faith. A bride that is full of fear and worry. A poor, dirty, down bride with a wandering heart. Is that what Jesus is worthy of? Then why do we give it to him with our lives? It's we're the ones that make him look bad. We're the ones that bring him honor and glory. Choose you this day. Which one are you going to give to the worthy one? He's worthy of perfection. Did you know that? He is worthy of perfection. We can be perfect in Him. Not judging by somebody else's guideline of what your work looks like. That's not how you're judged. You're judged of perfection in Him. We can make no more mistakes in Him. Harry, if I leave out that door today and I take a left instead of a right, I have not made a mistake because I'm in Christ Jesus. It doesn't make any difference what I do. If my goal and my heart is Him and creating the world, making the world see that He is worthy by my worthy life, then I can make no mistakes. I'll say it again. If I make Him look good, I am good. It doesn't make any difference what anybody else says. Did you understand? Most of the time when you stand for something that's right, you're going to look bad. In somebody's, most of the world's eyes, you're going to look bad. Why do you care? If you're making Jesus look good, you look good to Him. What else counts? What else counts? When we work, a good job brings Him worth. You understand? When we do good work, it brings Him worth. When we play, righteous play makes Him look good. Brings Him worthiness. Here's what happened. So we'll back it up. We read in Genesis how we were created in His likeness and image. That means we were one with Him, walking in all the blessings and glory of God. Did you hear me? That's how we were created. And that's how we're created today. But we still have this choice. The enemy walks up and says, I know what God said. Or did He really say that? Since you can't make any mistakes, this over here is probably good too. See how you can twist that truth just a little bit? I said you can make no mistakes in Him. They decided that in God wasn't enough. There was some pretty fruit over there, so when they ate, they sinned against the one that made them perfect. So they lost the blessings. Now they're going to walk in curses the rest of their life. Isn't that what the Word said? All right. That didn't please God, and it didn't please Jesus. So the plan was changed, and Jesus became worthy by what? How did Jesus become worthy of a perfect bride without spot or wrinkle? Obedience. Plain and simple. God says, I care about them. I don't care if they are sinners. I care about them. You need a bride, son. That's what He said. You need a bride, son. And I'm not having you walk with that dirty hunk of nothing down there, since that's your only choice. Do you understand? His only choice was a dirty, dirty, stinking bride. God says, not tolerable. But here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to go and redeem them, clean them up, and make them worthy. In our sin, guys, we were worthy of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be perfect to start crying out, Jesus, you're worthy. Because in our sin, He was worthy. And He thought we were worthy. And so He came and He paid a price and He redeemed us. We had lost our worthiness. In Christ Jesus, we gained our worthiness. The worthy one redeemed us into Himself. So that we could be married. So that we could be in agreement. So that we could walk as one. Maybe the reason we don't fully understand walking as one is we haven't told Him how worthy He is. And have that reflect back on us. And perfect us and create in us a desire to please Him more and more and more. Jesus Christ paid for the return trip to former glory and dominion. Did you hear me? He wasn't a one-way situation. He paid for the return trip. Let's be faithful to our first love and our call, which is worthy. Jesus' name is worthy. Maybe we need to get a different perspective on the name of Jesus. Maybe if I learn in my life that for me to use the name of Jesus, even helping somebody else, I first have to understand that I'm worthy to do that. The only way to do that is you've got to understand you're worthy. It's not a standalone worthy. You ain't worthy on your own. If you understand me, you will never be worthy without Christ Jesus. You're not. I don't care. The world will tell you different. Why do we settle for anything else? He is worthy of a bride without spot or wrinkle. My work in life is to please the worthy one or my husband. Submit to him and obey him so that I am blessed, so that he is proud, and so that the Father is glorified. The only work we have to do is diligently listen and obey, and it'll be good. strive to do our best without fretting and worrying. There's a line there. Stay at rest. For this to happen, you must say it so that you can believe it. You must say it and believe it before you can understand it or see it. One more scripture, Titus. I just about covered the Bible today. I did it a little weird, started in Revelation, went to Deuteronomy, then went to Genesis, and now we're jumping to Titus. Hebrews and then Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now how can the Scripture be so bold as to say before all men are born that it has appeared to all men? Because the work has already been done. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, wherever we are. So we not only have the promise, we have the ability to fulfill the promise. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. All right. Here's one more stage of salvation. When we began to say, Jesus, You're worthy, we become zealous of good works. What does that mean? Zealous. Excited. Anxious. Hardworking for good works. Not working good. What are you saying? What's that so important about? Maybe if I spent my day looking for good works, I wouldn't work so hard. I'd be more entering into His rest than I would into worry. Tomorrow, Chuck is going to get up and he's going to proclaim to the world that he has to go to work to provide for his family. And he will already have sinned against God for the first time. He doesn't have to do that. The work is already done. Does that mean you don't have to work? No. No, you have to redefine your work. Redefine the word work. My work is, Jesus, You're worthy. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I got to get in sync with heaven, man. Jesus, You're worthy. I'll never be comfortable in heaven if I can't get in sync with heaven right now. Then what's going to happen? In your being, the definition of work is going to change. Not just the saying of the work is going to change. The believing of the work is going to change. Then what's going to change? Then Deuteronomy is going to start hitting you like a ton of bricks. Because I'm believing righteously. I'm zealous of righteous and good works. Then the blessings, they're going to get all over me and I'm not going to be able to get out of them. No matter what I do, Harry. No matter how many times I've screwed up. No matter how many times I've told myself that I screwed up. No matter how many my dad told me I screwed up. No matter how many times some preacher told me I screwed up. I'm going to know that I'm walking in Him, which is all blessings. And nobody is ever going to get me out of that again. Because He's worthy. He's worthy. Not because I'm worthy, but I am. I'm worthy in Him. Or I'm worthy because He's worthy. Get a comfortable place so you don't forget it. And you just say it and say it and say it. And then when you have to do something a little scummy, like some of that dirty work that God asks you to do, which is call somebody up or face them and say, blah, 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 whatever that is, then you're not going to feel like you did anything bad. You're going to feel like you were zealous of good work. Karen, what time is it? See? She's doing a good work because I was zealous of a good work. And I'm not going to be ashamed of that. That's what our job is. God spoke to me and said, she's loosey-goosey on that time thing. That's because she's loosey-goosey in other parts of her life. So call her on the time. Call her on the time. I'm zealous of good work, worthy one. I'll do that for you, worthy one. Well, you may lose a friend. I don't care. I'm zealous of good work, worthy one. Well, who are you to be doing that? I'm the worthy one in the worthy one. That's who I am. If He speaks it to me, that means I'm ready to do it. Why? Because I'm ready to do what He speaks to me. That makes sense, or do you think I'm talking in riddles? He is worthy of good work and faithfulness. Do you hear me? He's worthy of good work and faithfulness. Our work is to listen and obey. Our work is to listen and obey. Let's see. Please don't let the devil tell you that's rough. God, what is the answer? Jesus is worthy. Well, that's rough. Well, it's also don't break the commandments. I've not had a problem with that for a long time. Well, then let's don't dwell on those minor things. Let's get back to the basics. Jesus is worthy. What's my next word? Give Him praise. Call Him worthy. What are you worthy of today? If you're in Him, you're worthy of the first third of Deuteronomy 28.
Amen.
What we read this morning. You need to read the rest of it so you know why I'm calling it that. The first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28, you are worthy of that because you are in the worthy one.
Amen.
Now we need to practice this, guys. Practice, Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy. So that we can begin to get an understanding of what that means, and so the blessings can overtake us. You saying you are worthy in Christ Jesus will never give you ego. The world may tell you that's ego, but you tell the world where they're going if they don't change their ways. God does not want a timid bride. If He says, go for it, He wants that bride to go for it.
Yes.
Now I'm going to go back to what I said. You're worthy of blessings, riches, power, honor, glory. It's not enough to tell Jesus that. You've got to bring it to Him. You've got to bring it to Him. You've got to bring it to Him. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with wanting to gather up what God has already provided. Even if somebody calls you greedy, gather it up. Bring it to the groom. Read again, afresh and anew, the Proverbs woman and see how it makes the husband look. Remember that? Remember how he looks at standing at the gates of the temple? Let's start putting the Bible together. How about that? Let's don't take one little scripture. Let's just blend it with everything. Praise the Lord. Now you ready to worship Him? Then let's stand as they get together and let's worship the Lord. And try to see if you can figure out how to put worthy in your worship. Let me seal the word right quick. Father, we do seal this word in the hearts of your people. I have never in my life heard what I spoke to your people today. Never in all the preachers and all the teachers have I ever heard this word. And I stand humbled that you would choose me to speak this to these people. Now let your people feel humbled, but not down by hearing this word, so that they'll begin to practice this word, understanding their worthiness in the worthy one, so they can move and live and have their being in the blessings and power and authority, not for them, but to bring it to you and give you honor and glory. I seal that in your people now. I seal it in myself. I seal it in my wife and my children who have not even heard this word yet. I seal it in them. With understanding and with faith, so that thy kingdom will come and thy will be done, not only on earth, but in your people, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, everybody agrees, says, Amen.
Amen.